Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. It's an all-pundit show with a terrific lineup. Mackenzie Warren joins us, Matt Robinson, and Paul Maradkan, all here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Get in on the Tamarack Casino's $175,000 Hidden Treasures Guaranteed Giveaway now through September 30th. Earn entries in the weekly drawings and win big during the two $35,000 grand prize giveaways. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Events Center in Las Vegas. Host meetings and events on two floors. Stay in luxurious rooms and suites. Unlimited branding opportunities. Regional Italian cuisine by Chef Mark Segrisi. Flexible event spaces. Full buyout options. Visit ahernhotel.com today.
Get in on the Tamarack Casino's $175,000 Hidden Treasures Guaranteed Giveaway now through September 30th. Earn entries in the weekly drawings and win big during the two $35,000 grand prize giveaways. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have an all-pundit show going today with a great lineup. Mackenzie Warren is here. She's an attorney and vice president of government affairs from McDonald Carano. Matt Robinson is here with Argentum Partners, and Paul Maradkan is here. He's the senior vice president of government relations for the Vegas Chamber. And Paul, let me start with you. So we have a ton of money coming to Nevada, and most of our elected officials are going around the state saying, you know, we're listening, tell us what you need. First of all, is that the role? Don't we elect government officials to make these kind of decisions for us? But if not, what are your suggestions to them?
Sure, no, that's a great question, Sam. As you indicated, Nevada's getting about $2.7 billion directly in general fund dollars from the American Rescue Plan. So I think what you're seeing from the governor and Treasurer Conine is that they're doing that listening tour for 75 days. The chamber participated in their kickoff listening tour just a few weeks ago, because they do want to get feedback from Nevadans, stakeholders, and different groups. Senate Bill 461 from the regular session did set some priorities of where that money will go. Specifically, the first priority was the filling up any lost revenue to the state general fund. The second one was the repayment of the $335 million that Nevada had to borrow to pay the unemployment insurance during the pandemic. And that's something the chamber agrees with. We don't believe right now it's time to put additional levies on businesses on layoffs or furloughs that were caused by the pandemic. So we agree with that. There's been conversations about investment into the Dieter system. And I don't think you have an employer or an employee who's going to argue with you that needs some upgrades at a minimum. And then finally, of course, from the chamber perspective, we think infrastructure investments would be a good use, broadband, roads, construction, those tangible assets that will help the Nevada business community and residents.
And when you talk about roads, are there ones in specifically, are you talking about repairing roads that currently exist, as Christina Swallow was talking about here from NDOT? Or are you looking at potentially new roads being built?
The chamber works with NDOT and RTC, of course, on what's on a priority. So I think it's a mix of both. Some new construction, seeing where those dollars could supplement other great building roads also in the north and the south in rural Nevada.
All right, Mackenzie, you're shot at bat here. What things would you recommend?
I don't know what things I would recommend, but I think Paul provides a great breakdown. And the listening tour to me is so essential, because there's a lot of mystique around this money. You know, the public keeps hearing this is life-changing money. It's you know, in the amount that we'll never see before. And it needs to be used to change Nevada. You know, Paul mentions Dieter, the system. That's a great point. Our IT systems as a state, we're pushed to the brink, whether it's courts dealing with eviction filings or Dieter handling unemployment filings. Our state just isn't equipped to handle the sheer volume of community requests. So I think it's really important to engage the public and help inform them that this money is going to be used to make Nevada better. And should something like COVID or another pandemic occur, we're going to be in a better position to handle that.
All right. So, you know, we often hear the term fair share, probably been hearing it for the last 30 years in the state of Nevada. How do you think the money is going to be divvied up? I mean, is it going to be two-thirds of the money going to the Las Vegas area because that's where two-thirds of the population is? Or do you think that there may be needs that are greater, for example, broadband, water resources, sewer in other parts of the state that are going to be needed?
But it's the perfect panel. So I'll share my piece and then I'll kick it over to Matt to be the Northern Nevada bookend. To me, being, you know, yes, I'm biased. I'm a Southern Nevada girl, but I mean, this is where the population is. When we look at systems and how they operated, I'll just use the court system as one. Las Vegas Justice Court is getting crushed. It absolutely makes sense to provide more resources in Southern Nevada than Northern Nevada. But again, we do have some statewide needs that need to be addressed. But as far as the immediacy of getting crushed by COVID, yeah, I would say Southern Nevada takes it. But Matt, I'll prove me wrong. I'll kick it over to you.
Matt?
No, I mean, I think we all, I would hope at least, see the dollars go where they're needed. And you know, Southern Nevada certainly is the population center of the state. And so I would imagine that, you know, that you'll see more dollars go there accordingly. Broadband is an interesting thing. And I think it's something that a lot of us don't think about very much because, you know, we have good internet. We always, you know, we're able to access these things, but this pandemic really pointed out how that disparity is growing in the state. You know, you had kids going to McDonald's and Starbucks to do their schoolwork every day and things like that because their neighborhood doesn't have adequate you know, Wi-Fi. And I think things like that you're going to see that, you know, they're not traditional infrastructure. They're not, you know, those things that you immediately think about in a pandemic like this. So I hope the dollars go there. And again, I think Mackenzie's right that it's likely that the lion's share of that will be in Southern Nevada.
Okay, but I will bring up, you know, an example here, which is there's 500,000 people living in the Reno-Sparks greater area, if you include Fernley, Fallon, Carson City, et cetera. So it's not like, you know, these areas don't have a significant amount of population. And with redistricting over the years, because the population base has moved in part to Southern Nevada, in great part, but still, you know, can you ignore or give short shrift to people living in other parts of the state apart from Southern Nevada?
I'll jump in on that, Sam. I mean, I think the conversations that I think that's one of the reasons why they're doing listening tours from the chamber perspective, you know, it's appropriate to invest in Southern Nevada, like McKinsey said, because of the population growth. But we also recognize that there are needs in rural Nevada, especially broadband, and we support that investment of dollars there. And of course, there are also needs up in Northern Nevada and the Reno, Washoe area also. But I think that the percentage will follow the population needs. So of course, there'll be dollars going to up north and rural, but I think logically speaking, the majority of dollars percentage-wise will come to the South because that's where the population is.
All right, so another question for you, Paul, then, is Nevada has been pushing I-11 between Phoenix and Las Vegas for a long time now. Is this a time when Nevada should be working with Arizona to get them to be working on their portion of I-11 with some of this money?
Sure. No, and you're absolutely right. 10 years ago, we got the designation of I-11 through MAP 21. It's the Obama administration, the Congress at that time. The Vegas Chamber works closely with Arizona and NDOT and RTC. I-11 will be a big topic on the Chamber's fly-in next month. We'll have the congressional I-11, I-15 event, and we bring in folks in from Arizona, their delegation over the years, and we've had good conversation. Nevada's done a very good job building the first segment from the Arizona-Nevada border at Hoover Dam into Henderson with designation. So we've made progress. To your point, efforts really are shifting now towards Arizona. And then of course, after that, the I-11 corridor between Las Vegas and Reno. So we see Phoenix first and then the Reno as a secondary piece.
Mackenzie, we're seeing dollars that are potentially available for Amtrak and other additional train projects. Where do you think things sit when California at this point, and I'm talking about high-speed rail between Las Vegas and initially Victorville, but where do you think things sit with California when they're having so much trouble in the Central Valley getting that portion of their high-speed train between San Francisco and LA built maybe in our grandchildren's time?
Right. I think there's a great deal of skepticism about these trains. You know, we've heard different projects. Some of them do a great job announcing and then sort of progress fizzles. So it's a major undertaking because, you know, as Paul expressed with our work with Arizona and that piece, it's difficult working together as a state. And how do you find the parity and how do you find a track where both states are sort of pulling their own weight, working toward the same goal? I don't know too much about the California rail dilemma, if you will. I just know growing up in Nevada my entire life, I've heard there's gonna be a train. And I think that remains to be seen, a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, to say the least. Matt, you know, one of the big problems with trains in Nevada in particular is the priority that freight has over passenger trains. Do you think that that's going to be resolved anytime soon?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, the nature of our state is that, you know, freight, it will kind of remain supreme. I mean, I don't know a lot of people that get around Nevada you know, via train. It's not, I don't think, intuitive for most people here. And there's, you know, and part of that is probably because we don't have a lot of, you know, train routes between various cities. But I think getting things around the state via train is going to remain.
You know, and I just, before we go to a break, I just want to point out that Elon Musk with his Boring Company on the map that shows all the potential tunnels under Las Vegas, there's also a line that extends from Las Vegas all the way to LA, and we'll see if that ever comes to fruition. But let's take a break. We'll come back with this great panel after this timeout.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and YouTube, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
The Do It Right guys at Nevada Heating have one mission. Your air conditioner breaks down today, we fix it today. Why sweat for days while your air is down when Nevada Heating can get the job done today and you can get cool again? For nearly 50 years, locally owned Nevada Heating has been getting the job done right. Call today at 323-5585 or see us online at nevadaheating.com.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and Twitter, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers with a terrific pundit show today with Mackenzie Warren, Matt Robinson, and Paul Muradkhan. Allegiant Stadium had its first preseason game this past weekend as we're taping this. So we're taping this on the morning of August 16th. What were your thoughts on the opening of Allegiant Stadium to the vast public for a game?
It was incredible to see. I mean, truly, the opening piece included members of the community that made building that stadium possible, from Nevada Guard to construction workers, our nurses, our frontline health workers. It truly is amazing that the stadium finished on time, being built during an unprecedented time for our nation and for Nevada, of course. So that was pretty powerful. Of course, it's different because we're talking about Delta, and we have an eagerness to open our state, and especially Las Vegas, to continue to keep welcoming tourists that are spending money and injecting into our economy, but we have to keep people safe. So people were wearing masks. I would say that they did enforce it. They had people walking around. Those checking tickets were saying, if you don't have a mask, you're not going to be let in the game. So I think as a society, we're going to have to adjust. But I think a lot of the venues are stepping up and coming forward with different policies that hopefully instills confidence in the public, but also sends the message to the world that we're open and we want them to come stay, play, enjoy sports and catch some shows. So it was truly incredible. I was there. And it's a long day. Those NFL games are very long. I'll have to work my muscle there, but it was exceptional.
Paul? It seems like there were three major things that have occurred now that have really made Las Vegas more of a community rather than just being a tourism destination for the people who actually live in Las Vegas. The first, I believe, was the opening of the Smith Center, which even though there have been Broadway shows for years on the Strip, this was something that was as much for the locals. Then T-Mobile comes along with the Vikings, at a time when Las Vegas really needed something to bring the people together, and now Allegiant Stadium. Am I right that these three are as much community builders as they are venues for attracting people from around the world?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think those three projects have really transformed and served as catalysts in Vegas and Southern Nevada. For example, Allegiant Stadium not only is home to the Raiders, but it's home to UNLV football. Their first game was being a few weeks, so I think you have that civic pride with Allegiant Stadium, with the Golden Knights, especially. Everybody goes, go, Knights, go, which is awesome. And of course, the Smith Center, which really was the catalyst for what we see today in our community.
Matt, I want to change topics on you here. There was a meeting of the first meeting of the commission talking about the blockchains proposal this past week. And I know your company is involved in some ways in some of the negotiations, but it seems like, you know, normally you look at an RTC or an airport and they plan out 30 years, and that's a pretty long window. Here part of the discussion was 65 years. What are your thoughts on the reception that the lawmakers gave this blockchains plan?
You know, I think this is a big thing, right? And what's being discussed out at TRI is something that we really haven't seen before. And, you know, I know people have drawn comparisons to, you know, to Disney and others, but this really is a first of its kind. So I think it was well received to the point that it could be. You know, I think there are people have probably well-deserved reservations about some of it. I think there was a kind of a natural hesitancy to establish a government out there. I don't think anybody has an issue with innovation, and I don't think anybody has an issue with, you know, trying to draw companies in and make Nevada kind of a hub for you know, what the future will look like. But I think there's a lot of moving parts that are going to have to be worked out, and I think there's probably some convincing when it comes to the lawmakers that still needs to occur.
Mackenzie, it seems like in all the discussions we had during the session on this program about the blockchain's proposal to carve out a piece of Story County. Actually, the biggest confusion was about what blockchains are and what the technology was. I think one of the other things that came up was that a lot of people in other counties, including Clark County, were thinking, well, gee, if we had 50,000 contiguous acres, they could take a chunk of Clark County as well. Do you think that that's causing people pause?
Sure. It's you know, anytime something exciting and can inject that level of investment, I think, of course, other counties are going to start looking around, hey, what about here? land is a major issue in Clark County. It's actually incredible to see what little land we have left to develop. So I think there were some reasons why a more rural place was chosen. But I think overall, the blockchains and innovation zones project is just exciting because it shows some potential of where Nevada is headed and that we are being looked at as the breeding ground for very innovative concepts that you're not going to see anywhere else. So I think overall, it helps Nevada regardless. But sure, you're going to have some counties getting jealous and wanting those exciting projects happening where they are.
Paul, Fox Nation put out a piece with Laura Logan where she had great concerns about a smart city. She was saying that televisions are listening to you, your phone is listening to you, Alexa is listening to you. Do you want to work in a place where the walls are listening to you as well? What's your response to that? Too paranoid?
I mean, I think anytime you have a new innovation idea to come online or propose, you're always going to have those questions, those conversations. I think that's part of the vetting process. You know, to McKinsey's comments about growth in the Valley, obviously, when we're looking at a large project like this, you take into effect governance, resources, water, land use development, impact on in existing infrastructure. So I think there's all the conversations you have to have as you look at these opportunities ahead of you.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back more with this panel after this timeout.
Can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't gonna let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
Serving Our Kids Foundation's mission is to serve homeless, at-risk, and food-insecure children in grades K through 8 throughout Southern Nevada. During the pandemic, Serving Our Kids has seen a 42% increase in the number of children served, providing more than 4,500 meals to kids in over 100 schools weekly. Serving Our Kids is powered by community support and volunteers. To learn how you can help, visit servingourkids.org.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, there are a great pundit panel with Matt Robinson, Paul Muradkhan, and Mackenzie Warren. Paul, am I the only one that really wants to talk about Ivanpah at this point? Or is Ivanpah developing quietly but progressing nonetheless?
Well, I think that is a good question. The Chamber has supported that project for many years now. I think it goes back maybe about 10 years now. So, I mean, I think right now, McCarran is rebounding, of course, because of COVID and so forth. So is Ivanpah still on the docket? Yes. But I think right now, focus really is about reopening McCarran as much as possible and getting those capacity numbers up. So I think that's where we're at right now.
Mackenzie, despite concerns about water that a lot of people have, I am told by the Southern Nevada Water Authority that they have water for Apex and they have water for Ivanpah. And Commissioner Kirkpatrick says within her time in office, which is 10 years at most, that Ivanpah will be operating. Do you agree?
I have to take Marilyn for her word. If anyone knows the inner workings of our state, it's her. I think it's tremendous what they've been able to accomplish. But like anything, Nevadans know water is scarce here, so they're going to have to deal with a skeptic public, but truly, I think it could happen. If MK says it will, I'll believe her.
Okay, well, that's a good thought right there. And Matt, last question to you, which is what we're seeing as we're taping this on the morning of the 16th is incredibly smoky skies all across northern Nevada. What are your thoughts about this and where we're heading with what's going on with these fires?
You know, it's something that I think anybody in northern Nevada will agree that, you know, the last couple of years it's steadily gotten worse. You know, we have a home that was surrounded by the Tamarack fire. The town made it, but there are a lot of other towns, especially in the Dixie fire, that didn't. It's very sad. There's beautiful country being destroyed for generations, and I think you know, I think we need to kind of need to be adults again on this, and we need to manage forests the right way. This kind of we can't mistake, you know, protectionism for conservation anymore. It's just not the case. And so we need to take a serious look at how we manage our forests and manage our public lands. And that at the very basic level requires the federal government to work with the states and allow people to go in and do those kinds of things. So it's nasty up here. And it's very sad for a lot of people who have lost homes and, you know, places that they've gone for generations. So we've got to get something changed.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all so much. A great panel. Really appreciate you all being here. And we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts. And now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
ProGroup Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. ProGroup Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. ProGroup Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. You can do that now these days. We'll see you on the next broadcast.